The content of this podcast is provided for general informational purposes only and is not intended as, nor should it be considered a substitute for, professional medical advice.
Sweaty and pissed, menopause makes me sweaty and pissed.
Welcome back to Sweaty and Pissed, Menopause and More. I'm Karen Nickel, family nurse practitioner. And unfortunately, Leanne is on the road. She is away. And so we do not have her in studio today. But I'm thrilled to say that a colleague of mine, Alexandra Perignon, who is a family and psychiatric nurse practitioner, is here with me. And we're going to talk about some of the psychiatric aspects of menopause and perimenopause. And I think you'll enjoy the change in accent. So you're used to Leanne's accent, and you'll hear Alexandra's new accent from her. So she is from Australia originally and has been in Knoxville practicing for 10 years. And we're just thrilled to have her here. Welcome, Alexandra. We're really happy you're here.
Thank you for having me. I won't adopt my Southern accent for this show, but thank you. I'm thrilled to be here.
Yeah, we're so glad. Well, we'll really enjoy your accent. So it'll be a new thing for all our listeners. So, when we go into perimenopause, we have so many hormonal changes. We have estrogen swinging around, we have progesterone dropping, we have testosterone dropping. And, you know, on this show, we've talked a lot about what to do in terms of hormone balance to help correct that. But I thought it would be great for us to talk about some of the other things, whether it's prescription medications or, any supplements that could help with a lot of the psychiatric symptoms that we experience. So, and a big one, a really big one that happens with dropping estrogen, both in perimenopause and menopause, is anxiety. It really triggers a lot of anxiety. And I wanted to talk to you about what kinds of things we traditionally use for anxiety and what are some of our options to that traditional use of medication.
Sure. I love to practice and talk about as many different options as possible. There's many alternative regimens that can really help women tremendously and men that should be thought about first. Of course, there's the obvious medical causation that should be ruled out, like, for instance, thyroid, stress hormones, levels of those should be done. But after all is said and done, before you necessarily embark on psychiatric medications, it's a great route to go to start asking people how much caffeine they're drinking. That's in the form of chocolate, Red Bulls, straight out coffee and tea. But that's got to be lessened, and it's got to be understood that it doesn't go well with sleep, and it takes so many hours for caffeine to be out of your body. Yeah. So that's a very important route to start. And then the supplements, and I'm sure that you use them all the time in your practice, but I've got a whole bunch that I start with people. Often they haven't been on them at all. And that's definitely omega-3s. It's definitely D3, and D3 levels should be done. Magnesium glycinate is wonderful.
It is.
I love that stuff.
I know. It's so good for sleep.
It works like a charm, and there's so many different forms of magnesium, and you don't want to necessarily get the one that's going to be a terrible laxative, but that one is not.
Yeah, the glycinate form is what I recommend to people, too. It's a little trickier to find. You have to go to a health food store. I have it compounded for some people. So it's a little trickier to find, but it's worth looking for.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that can make a huge difference to people. So can things like Epsom salt bath.
Yeah.
I mean, get magnesium however you can get it, but magnesium is so wonderful for the body. It's so fantastic to take stress away and to take anxiety away and help you sleep and make you feel better. L-theanine, you use that.
Yeah. Yeah, L-theanine is amino acid that's very calming, and you can take it throughout the day. I mean, as needed, just, if you're feeling anxious, upset, L-theanine is a great tool.
Exactly.
And that's another health food store item, typically.
It is.
I don't know if I've seen it in Walgreens. Of course, I haven't looked.
I think it's everywhere now. I think more and more people are getting clued onto it. It's a wonderful supplement.
Yeah. Like and that. I know that I've seen it sometimes even in the form of a pastille, you know, a little that just dissolves under the tongue so that it, you know, you can get that level up quickly.
Yeah.
So that's a nice option. And what, you know, what I see, and I know I'm sure you see probably even more than I, is pretty regular use of benzodiazepines for anxiety. This is a prescription medication that is an anti-anxiety, and most of you would know it as Xanax or Ativan or Klonopin, Valium. Those are the brand names of the benzodiazepines. I'd love for you to speak to that about, you know, what's the implication of long-term use of a benzodiazepine?
Here's the thing about benzos, which is unfortunate and fortunate. They work incredibly well. Mm-hmm. It is like a magic pill that can instantly take the stress away. And there's certain situations where absolutely I would say, yes, you could have one. That would be, as we were just discussing before, a panic attack mm-hmm. on a plane, a terrible trauma that just happened.
Yeah.
But long-term use of these medicines is absolutely dangerous. Mm-hmm. They cognitively impair you mm-hmm. as time goes by. They are incredibly addictive, mm-hmm. and they should be avoided at all costs. Yeah. I know that sounds rigid for people that go, but they work, and I know they work, but other things work too. Mm-hmm. And I think the message is you've got to find the right provider who will work with you and understand the implications of long-term use of these drugs and to offer you different options which can really work.
Right. And if you're taking benzodiazepines daily, you really need to work with your provider on getting off of those, correct? I mean, that's a bit of a process. It can be done, and it is done all the time, but it needs to be carefully guided.
It's a very long process mm-hmm. to come off them, too. It's not something that can just be done over weeks
right.
or even months.
Mm-hmm.
It can be done over a year sometimes, mm-hmm. and if you don't do it properly, you don't do it under the guided expertise of someone who knows how to do it, you can suffer terribly coming off them. So it's got to be done well, but you can come off them and you can do well and you can flourish and
right.
you can sleep again and you can not have anxiety as well because there's other options.
Yeah, there are. You know, one thing we talked about on this show previously about a website called PatchMD, and it's patchmd.com. That's Patch, M as in Mary, D as in dog, .com. And it is a place where you can get all kinds of supplements in patch form so that you're using it, you know, absorbing it topically. It was a company that was originally did multivitamin products for people who had bariatric surgery.
Mm.
And they expanded into all kinds of supplements. They even have a D3 calcium patch, but one of the patches they have is a menopause night patch and a menopause day patch. And the night patch has L-theanine, 5-HTP, which is 5-hydroxytryptophan that converts to serotonin. It has valerian root, melatonin, and then some like passion flower and evening primrose and, you know, some of the herbal things that are very calming. In addition to a few vitamins. And because typically what I see, and I imagine that you see it as well, that when you use sort of natural products, that typically for sleep, you have to use more than one thing.
Multiple things. Yeah. Absolutely.
So having something like that is nice because it's, you know,
Is it expensive?
They actually aren't. They run about $20 a month for a month supply, and they always have these discount codes. Every time I go to the website, it's like 35% off or 30% off or buy one get one free. There are always these promo codes that they provide.
Well, that's doable, and having so many combined is great.
Exactly, and you're not popping pills, because that's another thing that I see is a lot of frustration with taking so many supplements.
Yeah. Well, this doesn't work or that doesn't work. Yeah. And interestingly, melatonin, you know, the lower the dose of melatonin, the more, the better it works, which is really interesting. There's been research done on this, yeah. but people seem to think that more is better, but in that case, not. Less yeah. is better.
And there, you can definitely take too much.
You can.
I mean, in terms of a yes. safety
yes, you can.
Profile. So. Yeah. Yeah, so that something like that might be a good option. Unless, do you have any particular brands or that you recommend for things? Any of those things you mentioned, fish oil or omega-3
you know,
fatty acids?
Yeah, the Nordic Naturals mm-hmm. is one of the ones that I love the most for mm-hmm. the omega-3s. And I think that's such a great supplement. I think yeah. it's really good for everybody. It's good for teenage brains, adult brains. I think it's very neuroprotective, and I think it's really wonderful that yeah. people be on that. And that is one of my favorite brands. It's the one I've stuck to for years. So it also doesn't have – some people get a kind that repeats on them all day.
Yes.
Yuck. So this does not, because it's lemon-based, so it's fantastic. Because that's a first thing people go, I'm not taking that stuff.
Fish all day, yes.
Yuck. So, yes. No, it does not do that. Lavender has been made into medicine called, I think it's called Carmade, that some people respond really well to mm-hmm. Lavender capsules. Of course, you can get lavender burps from that one. But I haven't had too many complaints about that. Some people yeah. do really well with that,
yeah.
which is interesting because, of course, lavender is calming and wonderful, but it wasn't until fairly recently that you could buy it in the form of oral tablets.
Right. Well, and I know a lot of people are into essential oils right now, and you can, you know, there's a lavender oil that you can put in a diffuser and put it bedside. That I think that can help people. And so I think a lot of the essential oils can be very useful if you, you know how to know what to use and how to use it. So
have you heard about that stress bath? That is basically, it's 2 cups of Epsom salts, 1 cup of sodium bicarb, and 20 drops of lavender oil. And it's
nice.
Just lovely. It's just a really nice, fabulous bath yeah. to lie in. And you really do feel the calming effects of it. I've had many people tell me they love that combo.
Yeah, so repeat that recipe again so that everybody can get that.
2 cups of Epsom salts, which is basically magnesium. Mm-hmm. 1 cup of sodium bicarb. Mm-hmm. Don't really know what that does, actually. But this is the recipe for the bath. And I do know what the lavender oil does. And then 10 or 20 drops of lavender oil.
Perfect.
And it's just lovely.
Yeah.
It's really relaxing.
That's a great tip.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. The thing about sleep, we're just not very good at keeping a good bedtime routine that promotes healthy sleep, ability to fall asleep and stay asleep.
Because, yeah.
you know, we do screen time right until we go to bed. You know, we...
And even when you say people should be reading before they go to bed, it's all well and good too, but it shouldn't be on your iPad. It
yeah.
should be a book.
Yeah.
And actually, it should be a book that isn't even a factual or scientific book. It should be just gentle prose or great fiction or just something where your brain can relax, not
yeah.
something where your brain is turned on.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
That's a very good tip.
So it should be probably, you know, in a lovely lounge chair in muted light. And not in your bed, and not where you've look. I'm guilty as charged sometimes, but I know what
are.
To do. I know what to do, and I know how to do it.
Yeah,
and you should get away from screens.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and TVs in bedrooms.
I know,
that's
not good.
That is not good.
You don't have a TV in your
no,
bedroom,
I
I'm
don't.
Sure.
I
know.
Don't
ask me.
I won't.
It's just so comfortable to lie in your bed and watch a movie. I know. But I am aware.
Yeah. So, on the anxiety front, like we said, the L-theanine, 5-HTP again.
Passion
really
flower
help.
You mentioned, and that's wonderful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Evening primrose can be very helpful. And, you know, it's you're going to feel a lot better if you're not taking something like a benzodiazepine for anxiety or sleep. You know, and if you're supporting your body's systems with some of these really good supplements we're talking about. I mean,
yeah.
as you said, with the omega-3 fatty acids, unbelievably good for just brain function in general. I mean, in Europe, they use high doses of fish oil or omega-3 fatty acids for depression. I mean, that's their one of their go-to things.
Yeah, exactly.
And we just don't. And we really need to take a therapeutic dose of that. You know, if you take one cap that is a low concentration of EPA, DHA, I mean, it's good for just general health, but it's not going to help with some of the symptoms you're having if mood and anxiety are issues. So, and as you said, the Nordic Naturals are, you know, a little more expensive than what you're going to find it on the Walgreens shelf,
Maybe it's with the appropriate cold water fish that is going to be effective.
Much higher quality. Yeah. And if you're not into taking caps, Barlean's, B-A-R-L-E-A-N-S, Barlean's makes a fish oil or omega-3 fatty acid supplement that's in a liquid form, and they have flavors like key lime. I know that sounds horrendous.
It does.
I know, but it's so yummy.
Oh, good.
Okay. They make like mango and key lime, and you think, ew, that sounds terrible. You don't taste fish oil at all, and it's just really yummy. It's like a dessert, honestly.
Oh, well.
Yeah, it's real creamy and, yeah.
Oh, well, good. Yeah. The other thing that I think is a really fantastic thing and should never be forgotten is things like sleepy time tea.
Yeah.
So good. And I used to have kids I'd take care of and they couldn't sleep. Well, the last thing you're ever going to do is put kids on sleeping tablets. It's just not a good idea. Yeah. Then there's other options and we can talk about that. But my first go-to will be sleepy time tea and they'd all go, oh, it tastes disgusting. But you go, you know what? Then let it cool down and chug it like it's medicine and then have water because the effects of it are really great. It's got lemon balm. It's got valerian. It's fantastic and it really does relax you. If you could just make a little nighttime ritual, if you're struggling, make a nighttime ritual and make it be things like we were just talking about, but make it be a bath, sleepy time tea, no screen time, a book, muted light, relax, and
perfect.
Then sleep.
And for menopausal women, we talked about this, Leanne and I, last week, but, you know, the hot flashes at night can be a problem, and there are so many neat pajama products out there. You know, like Soma makes a pajama that's called Cool Nights that just helps keep you cool and has a wicking effect. So it just staying comfortable is a big part of it, too.
Absolutely. I've been traveling recently, and I really, really – I don't have yet my beautiful, cool pillow. I have a pillow that's really cool. And so when your head's cool, everything's cool.
Yeah.
So I just love it because you just lie on it, and it's got some kind of gel in it, and it's just cool on your face, and I love that. Yes, I know.
What brand that is.
I don't know. I was looking for it again the other day, but I'm going to be getting it back very soon. I can't wait because pillows are a big part of good sleep, and you've got to have good pillows, but you don't want hot pillows.
Yeah, well, if you remember what that's called, let us know, and we'll
go looking for
everybody next time.
It's very helpful to have a cool pillow.
I know. It makes a big difference. So, in terms of other
big
options, if we're going to talk about prescription options for anxiety, and again, everyone out there listening, if you know, you need to talk to your provider about what would be best for you. But so we're just making some suggestions about what things are out there and how they work and how Alexandra's seen how they work in her practice. So what prescription meds do you like to use for that?
I have certain go-tos that I like to go to first that tend to work very well for some people. Again, the brain is a labyrinth. What works for one won't necessarily work for another, but generally Lexapro and Zoloft can be very helpful medicines.
Mm-hmm.
And they can also be helpful in the right doses. You can't just start at one dose and stay there if you're getting a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be able to understand that things need to be increased sometimes and stayed on for effectiveness. I like Lexapro because it works fairly quickly,
mm-hmm.
and everybody wants something to work fairly quickly when they're stressed and not doing well. That's a good drug for that. Zoloft can take a little bit longer, but both can be very effective, and there's many other things. There's also the possibility to take things as needed that you and I were also discussing, like Buspar. That can be taken as needed. And in the right doses, that can be amazingly helpful. I think there's some difficulty getting that medication
it
right
is.
Now.
I don't know what's going on with the manufacturing. I haven't looked into that. But we're talking about branded name Buspar, but it's generic now, Buspirone. And it has been unavailable at the pharmacies.
Isn't that awful? Yeah.
Yeah, that's a problem. Because I use that medication a lot for anxiety for my patients. And so you start getting all these calls saying, oh, I can't get the medicine. It's a problem.
It is. And there's not anything that I can, that's equally as wonderful as that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, it doesn't work for everybody. When it does work, it's a great med. So that's worth thinking about.
Yeah. And we dose that sometimes every day, two or three times a day, but it can be used as needed, which is sort of how we think about benzodiazepines.
Yeah, you could look at it that way. Exactly. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good option. And you know, in terms of Lexapro and Zoloft, those are both generic now. They're inexpensive medications. That's another plus. And they're also, if and when the time comes for you to come off of a med, say you're having some situational depression or anxiety, and life circumstances have improved for you, those medications are pretty easy to come off of. I mean, it needs to be guided by your provider, but they're, you know, we don't have a ton of side effects when we're coming off those meds, at least in my experience.
No, absolutely. And I think with all psychiatric medications, they need to be supervised carefully going off them. If you just cold turkey go off those meds, you will feel horrible.
Not good.
Horrible. So I think people really understand enough about it, because if they've accidentally skipped a dose, they understand how they feel.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's too difficult to guide people into the idea that you need to do it slowly and carefully.
And the ones that I've found is particularly tricky are what we call the SNRIs, the serotonin norepinephrine reuptake inhibitors, like Effexor, Cymbalta, Pristiq. They're wonderful meds, but you want brain zaps. Go off your SNRI quickly, and you'll feel like you've had sudden onset dementia.
Oh, discontinuation on those meds can be absolutely horrendous, awful.
So, yeah, really needs to be done carefully. So I'm trying to think of some other things that any medications that we really need to avoid. I guess there are, the sleep medications, again, sort of the same problem as benzodiazepines. We have a lot of people on Ambien. And I think, you know, long-term use of Ambien, we really start getting some muddled brain.
It was never intended for long-term use, and yet there are people who have been on it for many, many, many years.
Yeah.
And yes,
it really messes with memory after a while. And
there's lots of Ambien stories out there. That are very true.
Yes.
I've had patients tell me the craziest stories of Ambien. Yeah. So, that should definitely be avoided as much as possible.
Yes.
Also, you wake up in the morning, you're just feeling like a slug.
Yeah.
And if you've got work to do, and most of us have to get out there and be doing things every day, that's not going to help you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Trazodone can be a quite a decent alternative for sleep, which people can like.
Yeah.
And that's an SSRI that was found, interestingly enough, that if you took, in order to get it to be a great effect for an antidepressant, it had to be taken in such huge doses that people were very, very sleepy.
Yeah.
So it was discovered and decided that it should just be used for sleep in small doses. And it works very well for some people.
Yeah. So it's not a controlled substance, you know, so you're not having to worry about how to get refills. And that gets complicated when you've got controlled meds that have to be refilled. So, I also, especially menopausal women, I've used quite a bit doxepin in a real low dose.
Yes.
Another old timey antidepressant.
That is an old timey, but that works very well.
Yeah.
Small doses.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Real small dose. The doxepin it works real well.
And so people love it because they just think, oh, really? This is that going to work? But it can work.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's just a good alternative.
Yeah. So there are some alternatives out there to Ambien. It's not my favorite med. But, honestly, I don't think I've ever started someone on Ambien. Of course, I refill it. There are a lot of people who come in and they're already on Ambien and have real difficulty sleeping without it. So, yeah, it's...
So that's where education comes in and understanding. Mm-hmm, and of course, you're going to keep writing it for a short time, but this is a valid alternative. And let's think about that.
Yeah.
So that's
exactly
where you go with it.
So this has been really great to have you here and talk about these not only the medications that we have for anxiety and sleep, but alternatives, really valid and effective alternatives for those, in especially in perimenopause and menopause. Obviously, they apply to anyone, but we tend to have, as I said, more hormonal issues going on that make those symptoms oftentimes worse. So we're really glad to have you here. And we're going to next episode talk about maybe some ways that we can address symptoms that women who have when they're having periods, like PMS or mid-cycle symptoms. Again, some alternatives to hormone replacement or, you know, hormone therapy.
Absolutely.
So we'll do that next time. And it's been great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
We'll see you next time.
It was a pleasure. Bye. Sweaty and pissed.